thank you, Ron and Nathan, for doing the Money, Money, Money theme song there. That was a lot of fun. We are on week 3 of 3 of our Money Matters series. And before we start with it, I just want to acknowledge Chris and Heather are here this morning with their brand new baby, Eva, right? And we just want to congratulate you guys. She is 9 days old, apparently. So that's exciting. We're happy for you guys, and God bless you. I want to start with a quote. I heard that it was Martin Luther who apparently said, Christians need to go through 3 conversions. They need to go through the conversion of the mind, the conversion of the heart, and the conversion of the wallet. And so today, what we're going to be talking about is giving in particular. We talked about a lot of things in our series, but we're going to talk about giving. And I thought of different ways we could frame this, because I know some people maybe haven't been taught anything about giving, and others have been taught a variety of things. And I thought to myself, many of us have probably gone and to get an oil change. And the person who's trying to sell you the oil change, they might say, okay, do you want the good product, the better product, or the best product? And so that's the way I want to frame giving this morning. I want to talk about the good way to give to God, the better way to give to God, and maybe the best way to give to God, and all our good ways to give to God. So with that, let me just open us up in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for today, and Lord, thank you for what your word has to say to us about money. We could only even scratch the surface in this series. But we pray today, Lord, if our hearts are not in line with you, if our minds are not in line with you, and if our wallets are not in line with you, Lord, we pray that you would, by your spirit, nudge us and help us change to live in such a way that honors you with our mind, our heart, and our wallets. We pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to start with the joke. A pastor of a tiny country church had a hard time with stewardship and tithes and offerings within his congregation. So one Sunday he announced, "Now before we receive the offering, I would like to request that the person who stole the eggs from Widow Jones's chicken's coop please refrain from giving any money to the Lord today. God doesn't want money from thieving sinners." The offering plate was passed, and for the first time in months, everybody gave. Now, as we talk about giving, giving shouldn't be seen as an obligation, but we should see it as an act of worship, and we should see it as a privilege and an honor to be given the ability to give. And I believe as we honor God, God will honor us. And I've seen it many times in my life where I've been strapped and, you know, I've given sacrificially and the Lord all of a sudden gives right back to me and double fold sometimes. And it's been great. Relevant Magazine had this quote, which I found interesting. Giving, it says this, "The truth is, giving is a heart issue, not a money issue. Giving is a heart issue, not a money issue." And I believe how you choose to give is a reflection as to where your heart's at and where your priorities are at. So let's talk about the good way to give, the good way to give. And one way of looking at the good way to give is what you might call a tithe, or 10%. And this is the kind of person who is determined to tithe their income. What's a tithe? If you've never heard it before, it's a practice of giving a tenth of one's income or property as an offering to God. So this is probably the easiest concept to understand. If you're making 50 grand, well, you give 5,000. That's the person who tithes. Where do we see this in the Old Testament? Well, we see it first with Abraham, who gives Melchizedek, who's a priest of God, he gives him a 10% of all the goods he recovered in battle. We see it in Genesis chapter 14. After Abram returned from his victory over Chedorlaomer and his allies, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is the king's valley. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. Melchizedek blessed Abram with his blessing. "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has defeated your enemies for you." And then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods he had recovered. So we see it practiced in the Old Testament. We also see it with another important figure in the Bible, Jacob, Jacob promised God that he would give him a tenth of all he had. We see that in Genesis 28:22. And this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God, and I will present to God a tenth of everything he gives me. There are a lot more references in the Old Testament we could turn to, but what about the New Testament? Really briefly, Jesus mentions in Matthew 23, verse 23, he simply says, we should tithe. And you can look that up for yourselves if you like. And so if you are the kind of person who is, you are giving in this category, you are giving 10%, that is absolutely amazing. And for what it's worth, thank you. Now, why is this amazing? Well, according to generouschurch.com, Christians are giving at a 2.5% per capita or tithe. Today, the second stat is absolutely mind-boggling to me. Apparently, statistically, 33% to 50%, or a third to half of a congregation, statistically, of church members, those who claim they have bought in at a deep level to your ministry, give absolutely nothing. So statistically, a third to a half of this congregation, not saying that's true of our congregation, give absolutely nothing. People who say they're committed to the church. That blows my mind. The article goes on to say this: if we were able to have our people increase their giving from 2.5% to 10% of their annual income, an additional, get this, $165 billion would flow into the kingdom. To show the global impact these resources could make, consider the following. And so they give us some stats of what we could do with that money. $25 billion would relieve global hunger, starvation, and deaths from preventable diseases in 5 years. $12 billion would eliminate illiteracy in 5 years. $15 billion would solve the world's water and sanitation issues, specifically at places in the third world where 1 billion people live on less than $1 per day. $1 billion would fully fund the Great Commission, and then you'll have about $100 billion left over just to do whatever you want. You start a chicken wing ministry or something, I don't know. So imagine what would happen if all Christians just did what was good, and they gave 10% of their income. Did anyone see the bumper sticker the other day that said, tithe if you love Jesus, any fool can honk? So again, if you are giving 10%, that is absolutely amazing. That is incredibly sacrificial. And if you're doing that, thank you from the bottom of my heart for what it's worth. So that's the good. What about the better? What's the better way to give to God? Well, this is the kind of person that recognizes, yes, there are tithes in the Bible, but there's also this thing called offerings. And what's that all about? Well, what's an offering? Offerings were brought periodically to God in Old Testament times in the hopes that people's sins would be atoned for and fellowship with God would be restored. And so we see lots of different offerings taking place in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 12, verses 11 and following says this. God says, you must bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your sacred offerings, and your offerings to fulfill a vow to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. You must celebrate there in the presence of the Lord your God with your sons and daughters and all your servants, and remember to include the Levites who live in your towns, for they will receive no allotment of land among you. And so the Levites, and so God is telling the Israelites to not only give their tithes, but their offerings as well. Now, what other kinds of offerings were there in the Old Testament? Well, there was burnt offerings, cereal offerings, drink offerings, fellowship offerings, grain offerings, guilt offerings, heave offerings, meal offerings, meat offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, thank offerings, trespass offerings, and wave offerings. Lots of different opportunities to give to God above and beyond the tithe. Now, these offerings typically involve bringing some kind of produce or some kind of animal sacrifice forward to God. Now, the cool thing about being a Christian is that we no longer have to give these offerings up to God or these animal sacrifices up to God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And Jesus, once and for all, and that's what this communion table is going to remind us, he once and for all died on the cross, a perfect sacrifice that we don't have to be continually offering up all these offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. There is a good principle here, that there is still a good principle to honor God above and beyond the tithe. And so, as an example, what we've done recently, in recent days, when our son Gillis was a baby, he fell out of a high chair, and he hit his head on some tile floor, and he went unconscious. He was throwing up. His eyes were rolling back into his head, and he was rushed by ambulance to the hospital. And so as parents, we were absolutely freaked out. What's going to happen to Gillis? Well, it turned out he was fine. After some time, we figured that out. And just to say thanks to God, we end up giving God a small financial gift above and beyond our tithe, above and beyond what we had had in our hearts to give. And just to say, hey, thanks God for this blessing in our life. And so in a similar way, I think it's an honorable thing to give God a gift as you experience blessings. You know, whether it's a new job, a promotion, maybe you got married, maybe there's a new addition to your family, maybe you just had a really good health report, whatever. There's a million other ways, a million other possibilities where you can say, hey, thanks God, I love you. Thanks for the blessings that you give me in my life. Now, I've read somewhere that once you factored in all the offerings and the tithe that an Israelite might give to God, an Israelite could have been, a typical Israelite could have given up to about 19% of their income after all tithes and offerings were given. Now, some of you may be hearing this and might be thinking, my goodness, 19%. That is just a phenomenally huge number. And you're thinking of all the things in your life you might need to cut in order to give that amount. Well, consider this. When you give to God, you're helping tons of people in your community. You're helping tons of people around the world. And consider this quote. Live simply so that others may simply live. Live simply so that others may simply live. I think it was this past week, Arliss Peters sent me an email with a link on it to a website called The Global Rich List. And I checked it out, and what you do, you go on this website, you input your annual income in there, and it compares you to the rest of the world and where you stand. And for most of us sitting here in this room, it would be absolutely humbling the amount of money we make in comparison to other people around the world. And so for us to sacrifice and to give to God and give to others, we should be maybe arguably some of the most generous people on the planet. And so if this is you, if you're the kind of person that says, okay, I want to give God my tithes and my offerings, that is absolutely amazing. If that's you, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for what it's worth. Thank you. Let's move on to the best. What about the best? Now, this one's a little ironic because you're probably thinking, okay, the tithe was 10%. The better was 19%, so we must be going up here. Well, kind of, sort of. We're actually going to take a step back and forward at the same time, okay? I believe that God doesn't actually hold us all to a 10% rule or a law in every case and every circumstance. The New Testament doesn't really mention tithing, other than when Jesus mentioned you should tithe in Matthew 23:23, but he gives some exceptions, and we'll come back to that in a second. I believe there's some of us here that should actually be giving, if we're using 10% as a guide, some of us should actually be giving less than 10%, much less than 10%, and others of us should be going way beyond that 10% mark. Now let me explain as we continue here. This principle here, giving God your best, is simply that. Give God your best, whatever the percentage is, all right? When should you be giving less than 10%? Let me talk about that thing that Jesus says that appears to be an exception. Matthew 23, verse 3 and following. Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your traditions," by the way, he's speaking to the Pharisees here, "and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. And so Jesus is giving the Pharisees a hard time because they're letting their parents, or they're not caring for their needy parents in their life, and rather they're giving to God. Now, that passage can be interpreted in a few different ways, but there seems to be an exception here that Jesus is saying caring for your parents, for your children, your loved ones are very, very, it's a priority. It's a priority. Paul also says in 1 Timothy 5:8, these are very strong words, 1 Timothy 5:8, but those who won't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. And then he goes on to say this. He says, such people are worse than unbelievers. That is amazing for him to say that. Now, the passage here in 1 Timothy 5, Paul is really, he's talking about caring for the elderly, for your parents, for widows, and he's not necessarily linked up to giving, but I think there is a principle here. Here's the principle. If you are struggling to provide basic needs for your family, I think it's totally fine for you to be giving less than 10%. In fact, you probably should be giving less than 10%. If you can't provide basic needs for your family. So who are those in the less than 10% category, if we're using that as a guide? Well, if you're a single mom of three and the income is not coming in as you're not really, bringing in a lot of income or whatever, a single parent, maybe you are a student. And I'm not talking about teenage students who have the bills all paid for. The kind of student I'm talking about is someone who's paying for their own education. They are they're spending money on their own rent. They got to buy their own groceries. They're working a very part-time job, whatever. Whatever. You're in that situation where the finances are low. Maybe you are someone who is unemployed and you simply are struggling to pay the grocery bill. Man, you should not be giving 10%. Anyone who can't provide their family with basic needs simply because they don't have enough should not be giving 10%, in my opinion. I mean, if you choose to give 10%, I believe God will still honor you. But don't give something that you can't. On the other extreme, I want to say this. Don't go to the other extreme of giving nothing. No matter what your situation, I think God has given everyone the ability to give something. And no matter what the situation. I've heard of homeless people. Get this. I've heard of homeless people pooling their money together to sponsor a child in another country. And if homeless people can do that, how much more can you and I give something to God? Remember, giving to God is a privilege. And don't let anyone take that away from you. But if you're going to give less than 10%, be careful that you're not being irresponsible or frivolous with the money that God has given you. Okay, let's go in the other direction now. Here are some principles of giving. So if we don't follow a rule of 10% or whatever, what guide should we go by? Well, let's look at a few passages very quickly in the New Testament that give us some principles of giving. And the first one is this, give generously, give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Another principle, so give generously, give willingly. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Next, so we got give generously, give willingly. Another principle is this, give sacrificially. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3 and following. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. By the way, this passage is speaking of one church giving to another in need. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So give generously, give willingly, give sacrificially. And I'm going to actually ask a couple guys to come up here. Riley, could you come up? And Braden, why don't you come up too, just for fun? Who wants to be the rich guy and who wants to be the poor guy? Or the not-so-rich guy?
Rich.
All right, Riley's the rich guy. Give Riley a hand for being rich. And Braden's the not-so-rich guy. All right. Riley over here, he makes $1 million a year. He's got it made. He's doing well. So Riley's the guy. He's the guy who gives good, and he tithes 10% of his money. Yeah, so thanks, Riley. So Riley's making $100 million. He's giving, not $100 million, $1 million. You can make $100 million if you want. Let's say $1 million. Let's keep it modest. Riley's making $1 million a year, $1 million a year, and he's giving $100,000 a year, okay? That's 10% of his income. That's awesome. Thanks, Riley. You're amazing. Yeah? Braden over here, he's not so well off as Riley. He's making $30,000 a year, which is a good income. And now he's only giving $1,000. That's only about 3%, okay? Thank you, Braden. That's amazing.
Welcome.
You're making 30 and you're giving 1,000. That is absolutely amazing. So I'd like to ask a question. Who's giving more? The obvious answer is that Riley's giving more, all right? Whose gift is more sacrificial? Braden. Riley's giving $100,000, which is amazing, but he still has $900,000 to live on. Braden is giving $1,000, but he's only living on $29,000. Now, apparently that's like the poverty line in Canada, which is still amazing, that salary. But stay up here for a second, guys. This leads me to my next point, okay? Give in proportion to what you have. Give in proportion to what you have. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11 and following. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. Whatever you give is acceptable if you give it eagerly. And give according to what you have, not what you don't have. And so this is where I think people who are, they're making a good income, these are the kind of people who should consider giving more than a 10%. In fact, I had a seminary professor who said this. He said, if you're making the kind of money that Riley's making, and if you're only giving 10%, you may want to consider that you're ripping God off. He was pretty bold in saying that. And so for Riley to give 10, 20, 30, 40, even if Riley gave 50% of his income, Braden's gift of $1,000 at 3% would still be, in my opinion, more sacrificial than what Riley's giving. So even though it's amazing, that's amazing, Riley. I don't want to offend you. And I don't want to offend you either, okay? You guys are both doing awesome. Thank you for giving. The principle here is everyone has to measure according to what they make. Is what I'm giving sacrificial? Does it hurt? Is it generous? And what am I giving in comparison to other people? Not that we know. But anyways, I'm done with my point. You guys can sit down. Thanks a lot. So for those of you who are doing well, you may want to consider giving more than the 10% or 20% or whatever it is that you are giving. Another principle here is give where there is a need. Give where there is a need. 2 Corinthians 8 and 14, right now you have plenty. You can help those who are in need. Give regularly. I'm not going to read the verse, but 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 to 3. Here's an interesting one. Here's an interesting one. You might be a little confused with this last point, but get angry. Get angry. There's an awesome story in 1 Chronicles 21. I won't read the whole story, but David does something wrong before God. He sins, and God says, "Okay, let's figure this out. Let's fix this." And God says, "Okay, David, go build an altar on Arunah's property." And so David offers to he goes to Arunah and he offers to pay for the property, full price. But Arunah, he offers David, "No, you can have it for free." So they go back and forth. David says, no, I'm going to pay for this altar because God told me to. And Arunah says, no, you can have it for free. And then David, he appears to get a little angry. And he says this, and I love his attitude. He says, I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing. And so he went on to buy the property for 600 pieces of gold. And I love his attitude. I get a little angry when someone tells you to be cheap with God. I get a little annoyed with them. I love his attitude. And so if you're the kind of person who is living by these principles, you're giving generously, you're giving sacrificially, thank you so much. That is amazing. From the bottom of my heart, for what it's worth, thank you. A couple other points I want to close with as we wrap this up. A couple questions you might have in your head, and the first one might be this. When we give to God, where or what should we be giving to? The local church is an obvious one. Missionaries, parachurch ministries, the poor. You can probably think of some others. I should say that I think the local church should be a priority place to give, because as those things, as you bless the church, all those other ministries are blessed. When is something not classified as a tithe or a gift to God? Well, I think when you're purchasing a product or a service for yourself, even though it may be Christian. So, for example, DVDs or books, or maybe a schooling, you're paying for Christian schooling, or you're buying something from the Christian bookstore, or you're doing business with a Christian friend. Those are all very nice and helpful things to do, but in my opinion, are not considered part of a tithe. What's the best way to support your local church? Well, for what it's worth, various methods are appreciated. But regular automatic withdrawals are probably the best to give regularly and consistently in that way. What about your will? Do we have the church? Do we have other Christian ministries in our wills? There are two men stranded on an island. Here's a joke, by the way. Two men were stranded on an island. The first man he was all in a panic. He was all stressed out because he thought they weren't going to make it. And so he's pacing around. And the second man, he's lying on the beach. And he's soaking up the sun. He's having a good time. And the first man says to the second man, why aren't you stressed out? Aren't you worried that we're not gonna make it? And the second man says, don't worry. I make $100,000 a week. And I tithe faithfully to my church every week. My pastor will find me. Don't worry about it. So, by the way, with that being said, I need to tell you that I have no idea what you give, all right? I have no idea. And actually, it's a good thing. The elders have no idea what anybody gives, and I have no idea what anybody gives. And the purpose of that, I think, is so that nobody plays favorites. I think it's a healthy thing. The only person that knows, just for your information, FYI, I believe the only person who knows the complete information, or I could be a little wrong here, I think is Diana. Jennifer, do you know everything as well, or no? Okay, it's just Diana, our administrative assistant, because she has to write out donation receipts, just to clarify, if anyone's ever wondering. And the last thing I want to say is challenge your kids to give as well, and to give at a young age, and that's something I got to get back to. I divided their money recently to God money and fun money and what's the other one? Savings. And hey, it's a good thing to teach your children to give at a young age. Well, if you are helping with communion, I want to encourage you to come forward. And this is actually kind of a perfect transition, because as we think of giving, this is kind of the reason why we give, because of the great sacrifice that Christ made for us. I want to read to you a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich." And so with all this talk about giving and stuff, this is probably the most important point. The reason why we give is because first God gave to us. The reason why we give is to say thanks. It's a response of gratitude. Lord, thank you for the grace that you've shown in my life. God gave his son, Jesus, to us, the best gift in the world. He died on the cross for our sins, so that our sins could be forgiven. 3 days later, he rose from the grave to prove that he could take away our sins. And so, like I said, out of gratefulness for what God has done for us, that we give back. And that's probably the most important point to remember as we give to God. And so if you're the kind of person who has given your life to God, you received his forgiveness, you've committed your heart to him and your mind to him and your wallet to him and your life to him, you're welcome to participate in communion this morning. Let me pray. Lord, we are just so grateful for the great sacrifice that you made for us, Lord. You died a criminal's death on the cross. You died for our sins, Lord. Lord, we constantly mess up, and we're sorry, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace in our lives, and we praise you for that. We're so thankful. And we just pray as we pass around the communion this morning, Lord, that we'll be reminded of the great sacrifice that you made for us. And we just pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.